This podcast is an unedited excerpt from an MCLE program presented at MCLE's Conference Center in Boston, Massachusetts. Please note that MCLE's products, services, and communications are offered solely as an aid to developing and maintaining professional competence. The statements in this recording may not apply to your circumstances, and no legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice is being rendered by MCLE or its speakers. For full terms and conditions, please see the MCLE website.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today for doing your due diligence on commercial real estate. I am Caitlin O'Brien. I am a special real estate counsel at Proskauer, one of the law firms in town out of the Boston office. And with me here today is Chris Mercurio, an associate at Proskauer. We've been working together for a long time. And he's a diligence pro, so you guys have the A-team here. We have a lot to cover in an hour. Definitely feel free to, you know, type any questions into the chat. We'll try to get to them whenever it makes most sense, or we can address at the end as well. So Chris is going to go ahead and share his screen and walk us through our PowerPoint today, which I think you guys have access to download as well. And we also provided you with a diligence checklist. We won't be walking through that today, but that would be a helpful thing for you to go through the next time you start doing diligence on a deal. It will cover a lot of the things that we talk about today and more, a lot of things that your clients just do on the back end that the lawyers never even touch. But it'll help you keep track of everything. So we hope you guys find that a little bit useful. All right. So diving in here, we figured we would kick off with what types of transactions require due diligence. Makes sense to start there. So you're going to want to do due diligence anytime your client is acquiring an interest in real property, or even just the right to acquire an interest in real property in the future. And what do I mean by that? So the most basic example is if your client is acquiring fee title, which is a fancy word for buying the property, owning it outright. Also, if your client is going to acquire an interest in the property. So sometimes your client won't own the property by themselves, but with a bunch of other partners. And so even if they're only getting an interest in the property, they'll want to do some level of diligence. Today's class is focused mostly on you being the acquirer, but lenders also care about diligence because the idea of a mortgage loan is that the lender could have the right to buy the property or acquire the property in the future if things go south. So the lender also cares about, the title of the property and whether there are any environmental issues. Last one that I've listed here is a purchase option, which is, your client is not buying the property now, but is maybe entering into an agreement that if something happens, it will have the right to acquire it in the future. And so then you would also want to do due diligence on the property. And depending on the ownership stake that your client is going to have, they're going to want to do a different level of diligence. So if they're the one buying the property, you're going to do a lot of diligence. If they're going in with a bunch of partners and one of their other partners is sort of the primary buyer kind of running the show, then you might just be overseeing, some other counsel doing diligence. That's typically the role that the lender plays as well. They're just going to oversee the borrower's diligence level. And like a lease, for example, that's also an interest in property. Usually tenants don't bother doing a ton of diligence on the property itself, but if it's a huge major lease or it's a ground lease, which is essentially like buying property, then they're going to want to do more diligence. So it's worth a discussion with your client. The types of transactions that we discussed earlier, so fee title versus an interest purchase. So we talked fee title is acquiring the property, interest purchase is if you're just acquiring an ownership interest, maybe with a bunch of other people. And here we've just included some common structures for you. So the far left is the most simple, your client's buying the property. Next over is your client forms what we call an SPE, that stands for single purpose entity, to buy the property. So your client would do that if it were getting a loan. Lenders always require property to be held by a single purpose entity. That helps keep the property insulated from claims by other third parties. It also limits the business activities of the entity to just that property, so it simplifies things a lot. So even when we don't have a lender involved, we often use an SPE to acquire the property. The next one over is if your client has a joint venture partner, that's what JV stands for, then they would form that entity to buy the property. And again, you could put an SPE between the joint venture and the property. And then the last one over here on the right is if your client is actually just buying the membership interest of the entity that owns the property. We don't really like doing that because you're not only acquiring property in that instance, but you're acquiring an existing entity that might have outstanding liabilities. So we try to stay away from that structure unless there are reasons that you need to go that way. Sometimes clients do that because it minimizes transfer taxes, but a lot of states have actually gotten smart to that and now tax that kind of a sale as well as a sale of the direct property.
Thanks, Caitlin. And I just want to state for the record that my dog is sleeping right now, and if he interrupts, I apologize in advance. So here we have our trustee chart of the different types of property that you can acquire. And real estate professionals will talk about asset classes in terms of like retail or office and things like that. But for lawyers doing due diligence at the beginning of a deal, I think it's more helpful to conceptualize the property in terms of what's actually on the property physically. So the most simple transaction would be an acquisition of raw land. Hopefully that would be very simple unless it's, you know, contaminated or there's some weird access to utility issues or something like that. But then a step up, you could have raw land that's entitled for a project and you'll be wanting to review all the existing permits and the zoning status of the property. And then you could have a property with an existing building on it, but it could be empty. So then you're doing due diligence on a building, but not the tenants or the occupants. And then finally, you could have a building with occupants and tenants in it, and that's sort of the most complex, the most involved due diligence that you're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.